language.
She heard plenty from me last night anyway, so.
Right, good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip. I suppose it's called the Aftermath. Monday, 12th of July. We did say it'd be the last one, but I have invited Scott back as he's sort of been with us through the Euros. Morning, Scott.
Morning.
Looking very, very good today. He is dressed in black, a bit of mourning, but he's got Vegas as a background, which is always cheerful to see. Right, Scott, going to get straight into it, I'm afraid, son. This is going to be a bit of a monologue. You're actually going to sit there for a bit, but feel free to chip in if you have got something to say. Hold your hand up so I can see and I'll stop. I'm going to start. I made some comments yesterday. We are illustrious Prime Minister. And I enjoy doing these because it always triggers someone. I genuinely do struggle, honestly, to, and nobody has ever given me a valid argument that I've gone, no, you're right, as to how this man is in this job. I've been, you know, I think the theme of today will be that I've been consistent along the way. I say, and I've been consistent with this lying fucking fraud of a prime minister. But I made some comments about him getting a seat and turning up with this ridiculous England shirt over his suit and all that. And all of a sudden he's a big England fan and he doesn't know who scored the goals in the 66 World Cup. And somebody rightly sort of said to me that, they felt it was right that doesn't mean he's less patriotic. I said, no, and I think I said it yesterday, it doesn't at all. That just means, but don't fucking try and pretend you're a big football fan.
Yeah.
Then the same person who'd said that to me doubled down yesterday and said that I'm the sort of bloke was the exact phrase, that if Boris hadn't been wearing an England shirt, I would have been saying, oh, the Prime Minister has no interest in what's going on. I mean, it's just fucking incredible the world we live in. I'm going to another constant theme here is how you say something to people. And obviously my most medium for doing that is through this podcast, but even on text and whatever. And they take those words, whatever you've said, and then somehow rearrange them or jumble them into actually what they wanted to hear.
Yeah, to suit them. Yeah.
Come out with that. I'm going to be very, very clear that I couldn't give a flying fuck about Boris Johnson. I think he's a despicable fucking lying human being. And I am not scouring the fucking internet all day in, day out to see what Boris Johnson, Piers Morgan, fucking Nigel Farage or any other of the fucking dangers. They're complete fucking dangers. They're cunts. I'm not scouring or interested in what they've got to fucking say or do in the slightest. And that is half the problem with this country. We're fucking worried about what self-serving, fucking imbecilic, incompetent cunts are doing. And if somebody actually told me this morning I'd never see fucking Boris Johnson's fucking face ever again anywhere, that is when I would have a fucking street party and a bigger one than if England won the fucking Euros. So I hope that is fucking clear for the fucking morons who try and turn things around before I even get onto Southgate into what they want to hear.
I wish they knew what time you don't have.
Oh, hold on a minute. We got the phone ringing. That'll be Gareth ringing me. Hold on a minute. Yeah. We'll be back in a second.
It's the FA.
I'm back. There you go. We'll cut that pause out. The old phone ringing. So I was right in full flow then. Right, so that's that side of it. We then got a turn pre-game yesterday.
Yeah. Disgusting.
England fans are just a fucking disgrace. Yeah. I saw some yesterday just scouring through Twitter trying to justify it. I've been in London, it's just a minority. Well, of course it's a fucking minority. London is a fucking massive place, and I don't think for any fucking stretch of the imagination that anyone thinks the whole country is out fucking ransacking streets and smashing the places up. However, there are enough fucking idiots doing it to make a difference to us getting things like the World Cup. You know, when you see bottles being thrown, pub windows, you know, go and tell the fucking owner of the Marquis pub it ain't going on, who's had all his fucking windows smashed in overnight. people on Wembley Way, you know, Chris Kamara tweeting, it's horrendous.
I saw that.
Joe Tung, who's a management agent, a Spurs fan, you know, she looks after a lot of stars, petrified, you know, saying she's so glad she didn't take her kids, scared to take your kids to a fucking England game. You know, we've witnessed in this country, and we went on about it for 20, 30 years, a fucking footballing disaster with people getting in a stadium without tickets.
Yeah.
We fucking witnessed what it does and how it tore a whole fucking city apart. And we're sitting here trying to justify it and say it's fucking bollocks.
It is.
It's fucking absolute scum. And we're saying, oh, the stewards shoot. Those fucking stewards aren't paid to deal with that shit.
No, they're not.
Can give them 5, 6, 7 quid. It's fucking disgusting. Yes, you can say it's the police, you know, badly policed. It shouldn't be fucking happening. It starts with us. It starts with us. And then you get up this morning and it's followed up with racist abuse. You know, I put in our WhatsApp, Rashford. Yeah. As soon as he missed Rashford, you know he's going to get abuse. You know, and I said it would happen. This country is unveiling its racism day by day.
It is disgusting.
More and more, and it's going unchecked. They are absolute fucking scum. I've been going to football for 40 years. I've got absolutely fucking smashed at football. I've fallen asleep in Westmoreland High Street after an England game, flat out on the pavement. I've never, ever felt the need to lob bottles at people, leave litter, punch anyone, smash anything. Absolute fucking scum. People just never ever there. It isn't fucking hard, and there's not 1-0 fucking excuse for it. It's they are feral cunts, and they should be
They're fucking imbeciles.
Yeah, we should be demonized. We are hated as a country, you know. Whilst people laugh about it, we get fucking no points in the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah,
fucking hate us. That's why. That's the bottom line.
It's true.
They fucking hate us. Our neighbours, closest neighbours, Wales, Scotland, cause an earthquake when a goal is scored against us because they just fucking want us to fail so badly. We are hated, and that is the reason why, rightly fucking so, because we think we're full of our own self-importance and we're fucking disgusting country we're becoming, and social media is compounding it. You know, and the players have always got abuse, you know. Everyone's got up this morning and said, oh, fucking racial abuse. Players have always got abuse. Beckham got abuse when he got sent off against Argentina in 98. Rooney got abuse when he got sent off against Portugal in 2006. It's not new. But now it's instant. It's en masse. It's public on social media. The policing of it is not fit for purpose anymore. And unfortunately, we've now got a racial tinge to it, which is growing more and more all the time.
It needs wholesale changes.
Yeah, it's absolutely fucking disgusting. And if I see anybody to do with FTS fucking trying to fucking justify,
they'd be gone, wouldn't they?
Gone, fuck them.
Yeah.
So then we get on to the game itself. I mean, we haven't even started yet.
No.
Fucking hell. I didn't watch it. I know some people are going to laugh at that, but I didn't watch it. I actually went and hit some golf balls. I took the dog and hit some golf balls on the practice ground until it pretty much got dark. I had over 450 text messages in 120.
Oh, my God.
And that doesn't include Twitter. So I was running at about 3 to 4 text messages a minute. It was like a full-time job. And as I've just said, in a world where you say something and then someone listens and sort of decides and turns that, I want to turn that into what I want to hear rather than what you said, let me once again be fucking clear as I can fucking possibly be. Yes, I did tell you so. I will say I did tell you so, and I've been telling you for 3 years.
Yeah.
But if you think I've been sitting here waiting to tell you I told you so, you are fucking categorically wrong.
And they don't know you well then, do they?
If you don't agree with me, I don't really give a flying fuck. If you've got a common counter argument, I've got no problem listening to it. Can come on the pod and we'll debate it. If you think I didn't want England to win, you are completely fucking stupid. I never wanted to say, I never ever wanted to get up this morning and go, I told you so, or any morning through this morning. But I feared it would always be the case. I didn't watch the game. What I did do was record it. And I recorded it. I sort of thought about what OT put on Twitter, that actually, if they do win this, it would be nice to have it recorded and go back and see how they did it.
Yeah.
Would have been a great moment for the players. I'd have loved nothing more for Harry Kane than to see him win a trophy. I think if there's a guy's career as a Spurs fan that I think deserves a trophy, it's him.
Yeah, I agree.
And I stand by the fact that I've said all along there's a chance that England win it, despite Southgate.
Yeah.
Not because of Southgate. I have been consistent, 100% consistent, since the day he was appointed. He is not fit for this fucking job. I was prepared to give him a chance, which I did up until the World Cup, which he fucking royally fucked up.
Yeah.
I told the whole FTS community in 2018, everybody knows I'm a massive Spurs fan and I'm a massive England fan. And I said in 2018, you know, I used to get the shirt, go to the pub, watch all the games, you know, mad for it. And I said back then in 2018, if you gave me a chance to see Spurs win the league or England win the World Cup, it's not even a contest. It is England winning the World Cup, hands down. To be in this country when that happened, irrespective of the fucking morons, would just be amazing. Yes, I did say World Cup because obviously 2018, that's what we were. But for a country starved of any footballing, you know, success of anything at all, the Euros is obviously the next best thing. I am telling you now, so you can stop getting fucking all excited, we will not win fucking anything with this fucking fraud in charge. Nothing.
No.
And people who are talking of us winning in Qatar, just fucking stop it. It is not going to happen. I wrote a blog in 2018 after the World Cup. I posted a link to that on Twitter in early June. I can't remember when this had started or just before. I stand by every word that I said then. I could write pretty much exactly the same blog again now and just change a few team names. But because we were doing this, we sort of said, I will do one. And I did, was ready to explode. I thought, I've got to do one just because I can't carry this around with me for 2 days. I didn't actually go to bed last night. I watched the game at 2 o'clock this morning on record after I'd calmed bed down a bit and then fizzed myself right up again.
Oh, I'm surprised. I wish you'd said to me, I'd have said, wait till tomorrow and have some sleep.
I was so wound up and I went upstairs after it all settled down. You know, we had a few WhatsApps in our group and I thought I'd go to bed. I'd had two or three tenants and I just couldn't sleep. So I got back up again and fucked about on the internet and on Sky. And in the end, I thought, no, let's watch it. And then at least when people say, well, you didn't even watch, I said, well, actually, I have seen it.
Yeah.
And I just felt that I was time walked back. And I put this on Twitter earlier in the evening. I sort of questioned, is it Croatia 2018 all over again?
Yeah, you did.
And that's exactly how I felt. I'd just been time walked back to Croatia 2018. You get the early goal, you fucked him. I'm telling you now, as a man who sat in a Champions League final where you spend a day getting there and you're all optimistic and you go behind in 1 minute, which we did in that Champions League final, similar to last night, whatever it was, Shaw scored 2 minutes. I know exactly the effect it has on the team that goes behind. Italy were shell-shocked, like Spurs were shell-shocked. The players were fucking shell-shocked. The fans, when we were at that Champions League final, you're just numb. You know, your whole day is basically fucking undone in the first 60 seconds. The game plan is gone. You know, Pochettino was still on the sideline, didn't know what had hit him. Mancini was stood last night with his arms out. They'd cut to a picture of him where he's just got his arms out. Like, what the fuck's happened there? Italy are totally shell-shocked. And all you got to then do is have a bit of the ball and go at them.
Yeah.
And you then see over a period of time in that game last night, and I'm not going to fast forward in a little bit through it, but see Italy getting it back together.
Yeah.
To the extent by about the 35th, 40th minute, they're completely fucking running the game.
Yeah, they were.
And I sat in 2018 watching that England-Croatia game going, they're going to score again in a minute. They're going to score again in a minute. They're going to score again in a minute. And I sat here at 3 a.m. this morning going, Italy are going to, I knew, of course, they're going to. I'm going, they're going to score in a minute. You just can't help yourself.
No.
It was just Groundhog Day. He stands there completely fucking gormless. Completely fucking gormless. I said yesterday pre-game in the pod, You've got centre backs 35, 36 years of age. They're there to be got at. Once you've scored that early, not only are they shell shocked, they've got to fucking come out.
Yeah.
The game plan's gone. The whole Italian game plan has gone. They've got to come out. Get a second goal, you're almost certainly European champions.
Yeah, agree.
Almost certainly you are European champions. Anything can happen, but you are almost certainly.
And they were there for the taking.
Got Sancho, Grealish, Saka, Rashford, Bellingham even on the bench. And we're sitting on the pitch with eight defensive players, including the keeper. Seriously, this is what you're all fucking jumping up and down about? This is the fucking genius that you're all fucking jumping up and down about and you want tonight? I've told you along. Meet a good side. We won't fucking win. I'm right. The game was there for the taking, plain and simple. And a decent manager of any competence wins that fucking game last night in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
It was it was so painful, it is painful, but for me it's like watching Spurs under Poch, you know, argy fraud, honestly, lovely guy, clueless in how to win a big game.
Yeah.
Exactly the same, Southgate, South fraud, whatever anyone wants to call him, totally fucking clueless. Of course, they get the equaliser, they then look like the only team that's going to win the game. Absolutely nothing. Any subs he makes then are like for like. All I'm watching is Harry Kane going from side to side. He's jogging on the halfway line, back and forwards, back and forwards, back and forwards, side to side.
Yeah.
It's fucking pathetic, it was. It was shameful. And then I don't even know where to start with the rest of it. I honestly, you get to extra time and penalties. I am struggling to even understand what went on. Subs light for light, Rice off, Henderson on, whatever minute was that. Only he can know. And I'd love him to come out and explain how Grealish doesn't get on in the 90 minutes.
Yeah. Mount wasn't that good last night.
You know, and then he brings on two youngsters in fucking minute 120.
Yeah.
I mean, it's inexcusable. Rashford's 23. Got to remember that despite him being around and a household name for a while.
Yeah.
Sancho is 21. And you bring them on with no time at all. No time at all, but they're going to take a penalty.
Yeah, purely for penalties.
I mean, fuck my life. It's fucking unbelievable to watch. Yeah. And I knew that I didn't realise till I watched it when it happened. You know, there was a danger. It didn't happen. The Italians had the ball.
Yeah.
And if the Italians had wanted to hold it, they could have stopped those subs being made. Yeah,
thankfully got that corner, didn't we, so we could bring them on.
And then the order that he comes up with, and I understand I have not watched anything to do with him, but I understand that he has, I saw a quote again on Twitter, he has taken responsibility for the order and who took the penalties. The order of the penalties is fucking criminal. It's criminal.
It is.
This fucking fraud's been through it. He made fucking hundreds of thousands in adverts taking the piss out of it.
Yeah.
Puts a fucking 19-year-old last.
Yeah, for fifth, the most important penalty.
Just fuck off. Even if the lad says he wants to do it, that's when you're a fucking manager. That's your job. It's where the word manager comes in. He should not be anywhere near fucking football team management. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
You couldn't fucking make up what has happened. It's like if genuinely they know they're going into that game, is that what they can dream up when we don't know it might go to penalties?
Yeah.
Fucking do me a favour. And this is how you're going to plan that out?
Yeah.
For a country that's fucking notoriously under pressure at penalties, he's got everything, even got his own end. You know, they took him a knee then. It's fucking unbelievable. He's been the luckiest manager for me, genuinely the luckiest manager I've ever seen. Draw-wise in the World Cup, unbelievable. World Cup where Brazil, Argentina knocked out, Spain knocked out, Italy not there, Holland not there. Everything opened up. The minute he met Croatia, you know, he beat Tunisia, fucking Panama, Colombia penalties, people jumping up and down. The minute he made Croatia, completely clueless. this draw, you couldn't make it up. You know, we're talking Europe now. There's not many European football powerhouses, and you had Italy, Spain, Portugal, Belgium, France in the other side of the draw, all avoided until you get to this stage. He beats a now 3-year-old Croatia who've lost their star players, you know, lost Mandzukic, Perisic.
Yeah, Rakitic.
Rakitic, you know, and their main man is now 36.
Yeah.
He's drawn 0-0 with the Jocks. He's beat a Czech team who admittedly some were surprised by 1-0. I'll be fair, good win against Germany, more for the psychological effect that we haven't beaten them in God knows how long in a big event. But it's still the worst German side of 50 years.
Yeah, and they were there for the taking. Yeah.
He ends up with Ukraine, who I've watched probably 35, 40 games of this thing. And Ukraine were by far one of the worst teams I saw. They were fucking appalling. I mean, that game against Austria, it's still in my eyes now. They were fucking terrible. And interestingly enough, he plays Sancho. Beats Denmark in a semi, fair enough. Who, one, you've got home crowd. Denmark have been through a match day one trauma and lost their star man. And so, yeah, the one game you need him. The one game you need him to step up. There's only one game, really. We really needed him to step up.
Yeah.
And you are playing Italy. They have been the best team in the comp. But squad-wise, are they better than us?
Definitely not.
This England squad is over £1 billion.
Yeah.
Over £1 billion. There's nobody who gets fucking close to it. Maybe France. You've got Champions League winners, Premier League winners, 6 out of 7 games at home, let's remember.
Yeah.
6 out of 7 games at home. I haven't watched England games, but I know what a home international crowd is like. And if you want evidence of the impact it has, go back and watch the Denmark-Russia game again and see the impact the Danes had on that when they had to win the game.
Yeah.
Plus all the travel, which we haven't had to do, which the UEFA president has come out and said was already unfair and a huge advantage, and they won't do it again. He's basically played at home. The one ingredient that we fucking needed was a fucking manager who knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And we do not have one, plain and simple. And that is the absolute fucking facts of it. People won't agree. You're fine. That's you. Carry on, as I say. Come on and tell me what's good about him on a footballing side. On a footballing side. I'm not talking, and this is where we're getting confused. We are now confusing a nice guy.
Yeah, because he is a nice guy.
With a football manager. Yeah. We're creating a fucking narrative around the guy. And one of the reasons why I don't watch is this narrative we're creating around the guy. I don't doubt that he's a nice guy. Not really for me, but I don't doubt it. But the sycophantic fawning of people like Neville, I'm sure whoever, Ferdinand, Ian Wright, probably Shearer, Lineker, I don't know. I just don't watch it. I can't watch it. I said on our pod, one of these, that I opened up my Sky Sports app and the big headline, Southgate is our secret weapon or whatever it was, by Gary Neville.
Yeah, that was Neville, wasn't it? Yeah.
I'm feeling sick. I can't bear any of it. And people say, yeah, just watch the game, you know, and you get to the game and then you got the co-commentators. I mean, Jermaine Genus was painful last night, listening to that. Absolutely fucking painful. He's all over England. I got this over. Oh, England. And then when Italy score, well, it's always been coming. He hadn't said one negative word about England until Italy. Oh, well, it's always been coming. I mean, it's fucking, I can't bear any of it. So what do you do then? Watch it, turn the commentary off.
Yeah. There.
Well, just what's the fucking point? Might as well not fucking watch it. It's easier. Genus falling over England. Fuck off, man. I can't be doing with the songs about him. This fucking Southgate, you're the one song. As if he's a fucking hero. He is a guy who didn't have the tactical nous to get us to a World Cup final when it was there and you won up early. And he's fucking almost repeated it identically last night.
Yeah.
And what he did in extra time and penalties, you couldn't fucking make up. I've got no idea. So we are creating this false narrative that it's starting to fucking annoy me, if I'm honest. We've got this thing now where we used to lose to small teams. It's plainly it's plainly wrong. We didn't. It all started after Capello went and the country got fully into the, we must have an Englishman manage, didn't fucking learn from when we had McLaren. We must have an Englishman manage. And as a result of that, we ended up with somebody equally unfit to do the job in fucking Hodgson, who through the minute that Harry Kane was told to take corners, and we saw that he should have been fucking sacked on the spot.
Yeah.
I had no fucking clue what was going on then. And we end up with a laughable defeat to Iceland. And when that happened, then we will find the best man for the job. And we've gone through Sam Allardyce, whose shenanigans led to this fraud then being shoehorned in. But before the Hodgson farce, I've got to go again. There's somebody at the door now. This is chaos. Hold on.
All happening.
Live TV. So I ended up to this guy. But this, oh, we always used to lose to small team. 1998 World Cup, we lost to Argentina, one of the fucking giants of world football. 2,000 euros, which, by the way, were held in Holland, and everybody was fucking talking about violence in Holland before the game with Dutch ultras. And it was actually England fans who got fucking arrested, about 200 of them from memory, before we played Germany. But Portugal knocked us out in a tough group. Hardly any shame losing to Portugal. We lost to Brazil in 2002 when Seaman got done by Ronaldinho. We lost to Portugal again in 2004. Portugal again in 2006 when Rooney got the red card. And then that was the end of Sven, who got us to two quarterfinals. Did okay.
Yeah.
And for reasons known only to the FA, they then appointed McLaren, who we didn't get to the Euros in 2008, the old famous Wally with the brolly. 2010 World Cup, we lost to Germany. 2012 Euros, we lost to Italy. And then it was the 2014 Hodgson era where we did have a calamity in the group in the World Cup. And somehow from that, they felt, well, he's fucked that up. Let's give him the Euros 2016, which ended up with Iceland. So this narrative that we were getting duffed up every tournament by shit teams is complete and utter fucking bollocks. We have got deep in tournaments, quarterfinals, and lost to quality teams. Or we have failed with fucking shite English managers. McLaren. Yeah. Hodgson, that are appointed to appease the fucking FA, and the we must have an English manager brigade, fuck all else, and we now have another one. Southgate's record against top teams is fucking woeful.
Yeah.
It is fucking woeful, and I could manage this team to beat teams like Macedonia. It is fucking woeful. You want to see what a good manager can do? Italy failed to get to the World Cup in 2018. They're back now having appointed Mancini. They've turned them into European champions. They've lost two games out of the last 40 and are on a run of 34 unbeaten. That's what a fucking top manager can do. And he's beat top teams along the way, not fucking Mickey Mouse teams.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking nonsense what we're living in, this bollocks. He is a nice guy, don't doubt it, lovely. Unfortunately, that's not his fucking job title. His job title isn't fucking nice guy. His job title could not be any fucking clearer, England manager. He is paid £60,000 a week to ultimately travel around the fucking country and Europe and wherever our players are playing, look at them, oversee and manage 12 to 15 games a year. That's his fucking job, and he's been handed a great generation of England players. Two of the easiest draws you'll ever see in big tournaments, and both times he's completely fucked it. He has fucked it.
Yeah.
Had we won on pens, I would still be saying much the same about him.
Oh, I definitely would.
Had we won on pens, he would have won. Of course, my argument becomes harder, but the facts remain he would have done it without fucking beating anybody.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have beaten Italy, obviously he'd have drawn. He is a fucking massive fraud. He's paid to win football matches, not come round the house for a fucking cup of tea and play dollhouses with the kids. And the last one I want to dispel, this fucking myth that he's brought the country together, because I find this fucking insulting personally. Ask the people in 1990 when Bobby Robson was leading us to a World Cup semi-final if the fucking country was together. Ask 96 when Venables and the fucking anthem that we sing now, It's Coming Home, was fucking doing the first rounds. Weren't we behind the country then?
Well, yeah, of course he were.
So I was fucking one of them out in the streets, dancing, partying. This country has been starved for 55 years of football success. We always get behind the team, always. Yeah. When particularly in the knockout stages of deep tournaments, it is completely fucking wrong and disrespectful to pretend that this is all new.
Yeah.
Fucking out of order. Yes, we didn't have social media to amplify everything, but fuck all with this new Oh, this has never been seen before. He's bought the cut. It's fucking bollocks. The fucking anthem we now sing, It's Coming Home, was rousing the country in fucking 96. Let's just not talk complete shite because it suits the fucking narrative. Fucking grow up. Goes for Team Spirit as well. Find me a fucking report where it says there's bad spirit in an England camp. It's absolute fucking bollocks. We're just making shit up to fit this guy. Maybe I'll give you the Capello World Cup. Maybe. But even then, if you listen to people like Peter Crouch, you'll say the team spirit was great. I think at the time the language barrier was a problem, and he was a taskmaster, Capello, proven
yeah,
winner,
he was.
Taskmaster, in what was probably the start of players starting to feel entitled and the sort of swing to player power, if you like, as opposed
to,
when they were told they can't have their wives and things, you know, so there might have been them. But Crouch says the group within the team was absolutely fine. People listening to this are adults. It's just plainly untrue. It's plainly untrue that this is the first time this has all gone on. It's just absolute lies. Our issues over the years have been a lack of enough quality players, something we're not really struggling with now. Trying to shoehorn good players into teams, like when we had Gerrard, Scholes, Lampard.
Yeah.
In effect, we had 3 for 2, so we ended up playing Scholes out of position on the left, which was a fucking despicable decision, but it was that, oh, how can you drop one of them? Or we had shite English managers who just appointed like this fraud that yes men say the right things. Fuck off that this is the first time the country's got behind them and has ever been together. This is absolute fake bollocks. Lovely guy. My argument is about football and winning. He is not a good football manager in any regard. If he had anything about him, he'd get up this morning and fuck off.
Yeah.
But he won't. We're going to have him for another fucking next 20 years because it's good old Gareth. As I say, most people listening to this are adults. Sam Cassidy touched on it in our WhatsApp last night. Use your own brains, have your own opinions. I stand by everything I say. You can fawn over him, wank yourself off over him, knight him, name the fucking moon after him. If that's what makes you tick, he is a fucking huge fraud of a football manager, and history on a footballing front will prove me right.
Yeah.
Three kids, and that's what they are, face a fucking huge mental battle. Down to his fucking decision making. That's ultimately what it is. Yes, they miss penalties. Yes, we can say they should score from 12 yards. I imagine the pressure of that situation is absolutely fucking massive. For a 19-year-old to be put where he was, I think is fucking unforgivable.
Yeah.
And those three kids will now have to battle that for God knows how long, down to a fucking fraudulent decision making fucking bell end. I'll put it in bet terms, Scott. Bettington, you're a lovely guy. You are a much nicer guy than me. There is no doubt about it. You're a lovely guy, polite to everyone. You always interact nicely to everyone. You don't go around effing and blinding at people like I do. It's like someone saying, Scott, really, really nice guy. Yeah, lovely guy, lovely guy. Yeah, had a few winners off his bets. Lovely guy, lovely guy. And I go, great, how much did you make? Oh, no, I didn't win any money, but he's a lovely guy, lovely guy. I go, well, that's not really the fucking point of it, is it? The point is, yes, to him to be a lovely guy, but actually a lovely guy who fucking delivers you something.
Yeah.
Not, lovely guy. It's just bollocks. It's bollocks. The guy's a fucking massive fraud. I'm done. You take over.
Yeah, well, I was going to say he doesn't have the basics to be a top-level manager. In-game reading of how a game is playing out and changes required, be it tactical, tiredness, player not performing, utilising a bench is a true skill, and he just doesn't have it. And in fact, seems to be to avoid going to use the bench. Yesterday, he only used two. The semi-final, he only used one in normal time. He's very much reactive rather than proactive. He's totally inept tactically in game where he truly gets found out. His go-to is to defend and hope one of the few forwards nicks a goal and just lets the opponent tuck at will. Why would you let Saka take a pen at number 5? Surely vastly more experienced players could have taken it. And for me, he holds the team back. One of our best squads in years and years, with so much attacking talent wasted with him in charge. Set out to defend and hope can nick a goal, not utilising the huge talent we have in our squad. This squad is made for attacking football. This squad should not be dominated by anyone or made to defend for a large part of the game at 1-0, let alone 0-0. Best means of defence is to attack, ball at the other end of the pitch, pinning teams back. a quality manager would win everything with this squad. What a force we would be with a Guardiola, a Klopp, a Conte, Allegri, a decent manager who liked to attack teams. Would be like a kid in a toy shop with the attacking talent we've got. For me, he should resign. But he won't, because he's got us to a semi-final. Now he's got us to a final. But when they actually analyse the performance, he's found wanting. And I don't know about you, but most of us, surely if you go into a final as a manager, you want to go into that thinking, well, did I do my best? Did we do everything we could to win that game? I want to come out with no excuses whatsoever so that I can have no regrets, no what ifs, no if onlys. He's going to be full of those sort of questions for this final.
Yeah, well, he's going to get a free ride, but that's exactly right. Does anybody watching that think that's the best performance that squad of players can turn out?
Yes.
It's on the manager. Picking 8 defensive players to start with. You know, it's not, oh, you better than him, it's easy in an armchair. You don't need to be a fucking genius to see that Spain were cutting through them. If Spain had had a Harry Kane up front, they'd have beaten Italy 3-1 or 4-1.
Definitely.
They were cutting through them.
Yeah.
And you just don't need to be, and you just sit back and offer nothing. And of course the players then are going to get more nervous. They know what's on the line. Yeah. They're not young lads. They need a fucking manager.
And it's not exactly putting positivity in their head, making them sit back, is it?
No. I mean, what are you saying? Oh, hey, is that the way English football's going to, what are we going to do next time? Play 9 defenders?
Yeah.
End up with 10 on the box, 10 on our own penalty area and Harry Kane in the centre. He's clueless. But you can see him on the sideline, he's clueless. You see him on the sideline, he looks fucking clueless.
Yeah, he does. And that one shot that we scored with was the only shot on target for us in the entire match.
Yeah, I think was it 2 shots we had all game? One went over or wide and
yeah,
2 shots.
And then passes, they had 333 in the first half, completely passed Italy. 313 in the second half. England had 293 overall the entire match.
Yeah, and people saying, oh, tactically first half, he was brilliant. From after 10 minutes, that game was only going one way.
Yeah.
It was only going one way. It was a matter of how quickly the Italians settled down after the goal and then got into the rhythm of their play. And we did nothing to break that up. We're standing there now going, oh, Italian are brilliant. We did nothing to break it up. Didn't.
And they got braver and braver, knowing that we weren't really offering anything.
We were fucking lucky that Chiesa went off.
Yeah.
Because if he'd stayed on it, it probably wouldn't have got the penalties. But there you go. I've said my bit. How did the bets get on? Let's give them a roundup of our bets and we can put this whole sorry experience to bed.
Yeah, well, we did far better between us on the day-by-day selections, which is no surprise, really, because we were able to see the games and do the stats. Whereas the outright, like you said, with France, Belgium, Italy, Spain all ending up in the same side of the draw, that buggered me, basically.
You had a couple of hiccups, didn't you, with the Scotland goals and the Russia goals. I'm not sure even the next major tournament will bring those into play.
No.
The Scotland one, you might be settling in about 25 years.
they won't find my final moments, I can't deny.
You had a couple of named the finalists as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And unfortunately, they ended up in the same side of the draw. So
brave old bits, they are. They are brave old bits.
Yeah, because they were like 34 and 24. I thought it was worth having a little speculative. But they ended up the same time. So, we lost about 8 points on overall, as in the outright selections.
Yeah.
And then we won nearly 7 points on the day-by-day games.
Okay.
So. But we did have some, you know, you did as well, and I certainly had some bad beats as well. You know, there was that match where the referee didn't give a second yellow. The Kane penalty against Denmark, if that's given, I think all mine land.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, so I don't know.
It was 50-50, but it was more of a penalty than the Sterling one we got. And there was, you know, and I think, you know, you said the same. If we were to do a World Cup, we would probably do things a little bit differently. Certainly, I certainly would on my outright and on my day-to-day ones. Whereas I was, you know, you were doing the trading and I was doing the pre-match. I was worrying too much about price at times.
Yeah.
And so I got quite a few scratches on games where you collected.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately I got the winner, but I fucked that up by opposing England probably too early. I did think England wouldn't win it, as I said yesterday. So that kind of basically took any.
But you called it right though, really, didn't you? Because I know we backed them for 6 points last night, but at the end of the day, we're traders more so than gamblers, aren't we? If you'd let it run, you'd have had a perfect scenario, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's right. But I just, you know, I couldn't take that risk last night.
No.
I did think that. I thought Italy were a good bit pre-tournament. The only outright that's really annoyed me. I mean, you're going to get some wrong. I thought if Belgium go deep, Lukaku will ultimately.
Yeah.
But the one that annoyed me was the penalty one.
There's so many misses.
Just the fact those early misses, you know, whatever it was, five out of the first six missed.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, it's not a bet I'd normally have, and I just thought, I like that price, and then.
Yeah, and it got walloped, so, you know.
Yeah, so there you go. Right, well, once again, thank you for your time.
No, thank you as well.
I will not go on about this anymore now on podcasts. I've said my piece. I will now turn my attention to summer school, ultimate setup for the new season, and obviously into the new season, betting and punting, and a bit more.
Can I say, is summer school still open for people if they want to?
I mean, obviously they have to catch up with in effect. With six contents and seven videos in, but they would just have to catch up, you know, but it's there once they've got access.
I've just done six this morning, and, you know, and I'm not being biased or anything, but loads of others said the same, and they were excellent again. And I loved seeing it because I've wrote so many notes from what you've come off that I'm going to speak to you about other things off air, about some of the things we look at together on mine. And I found it really beneficial again, so...
I thought you were watching them yesterday.
Yeah, I was supposed to, but someone wanted to watch Missing Without Trace on TV because there was a football final coming on. So apart from going in a different room,
Missing Without a Trace?
Was it called? Without Trace.
What's that?
It's something about someone goes missing and then the FBI have to go and find him. Oh, so she wanted to watch that.
You really sort yourself out. Flipping here with me, honestly.
Sorry.
God almighty.
But I watched them this morning, so they hadn't self-destructed, so I was all right.
My day actually got off to a bad, a baddish day. We had arranged, because Ari's here, to go and meet my brother for lunch. We'd pre-arranged this ages ago.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, before we knew the football was on. So we booked a restaurant for lunch and Jack and his girlfriend came over. So my brother, his wife and their daughter, me, Sam, Jody, Ari, Jack. So we had a whatever it is, 9-10 of us. And my brother turned up, 53 years of age, turned up in a 1966 England football shirt.
Did he do it to wind you up?
No, he's just a cock. And I just
thought, a lot of us listeners will know what you think about grown men wearing shirts with and stuff like that, names on the back and all that.
I parked the car and I was pushing the pram with Ari and I spotted him from about 100 yards. And honestly, I could have just turned around and gone back home. I thought, sake. So I did tell him. I said, you're just a fucking joke. But there you go. So, yeah, that put me in a fucking bad mood all through lunch. There we go. Right. Thank you, everybody. That is us done for the Euros 2020. Euros 2020, the aftermath. We're finished. Couldn't give a flying fuck whether you agree with me or not. If you think Southgate is the man football-wise, there is a place for you on this podcast any fucking day you like. If you want to come on and say what a nice man he is, fuck off and do one. I'll be back. Well, Scotty, goodbye. I'll be back when I feel like it. I genuinely don't know whether it'll be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm going to go and headbutt a few walls and get over this quietly on my own. Arrivederci. Congratulations to Italy. We must say that. Well done, Italy.
Yeah, well done, Italy. Yeah.
See you later, mate. All right, son.
See you, mate.
Bye.
Bye.